found out last night that Dad died in his sleep. Days, I think March 30th. Headed to Atlanta to see Mama and Allison. Blue Van will be flying in later. Just traveling, thinking. I think about the time Dad took me down into parts of eastern Kentucky to an old remote town that had been abandoned back in the 30s. And we brought a grass bed back to Allison. Used forever in Mama's house. But think about times when Mom used to make bread when we were in Sweet Home Morgan. She'd use powdered milk, and she'd always make these real homemade crusty loaves of bread. She'd always save me an inch and slather with butter. It was delicious. Remember about the time that we all as a family up in Oregon, we went up into some of these remote roads back in the places where Dad worked. We were coming back one night, Uncle Freddie Wayne was with us. We all got out there and stripped down into our skivvies. We ended up skinny dipping up in the river in a hole Dad and I fished many times for trout when I was a kid. One time Dad took Papa Mullendore, or Papa, and me, and we went fishing behind the Detroit Ranger Station. And we're sitting there, and Papa was fly fishing, and a guy right down the creek from us was sitting there, and he was working a fly and had his daughter and his wife behind him sitting on a blanket. He pulled a back cast and then brought it forward to cast the bait, and that fly got caught in his daughter's, right above his daughter's eyebrow. Jake Dunn trying to dig that out. I remember the time Dad took me over in eastern Oregon one time, and this was in timber that had never been cut. It was all virgin timber. This stuff was in lava beds. And I can remember walking behind Dad as he went down through the sand of trees. We were over there mule deer hunting. And he could reach out and touch one tree, and then the next, and then the next. And these trees were, I don't know, from 3.5 to 4 foot through the center. They were huge, huge stems. And I remember Dad just always talking about how he would like to see this country years ago. A lot of the places Dad worked in Oregon, Washington, when we were kids, were in country that had never been roaded, that had never been logged. And so we had an old Buick Wildcat car. And it was kind of a quasi-family car plus, hunting rig, if you will. And he and I would get in that thing, we'd go banging down log roads or back in the middle of nowhere. And we would deer hunt. I was just a little kid. I must have been 8 or 10. And I'd sit there and watch Dad, and we would sit in his clear cut, sitting on these giant stumps left over from where people had harvested. And we would sit there and we'd look for deer across these large clear cuts and watch drainages, and he would talk to me about things he looked for when we hunt, places to think about where the animals would lay, and just kind of give me a tutorial sitting there on his stump, just of how animals move, when they move, and why they move. Went another time to with some of his friends, and there's a kind of a pigeon in the northwest, some kind of banded pigeon that it lived in mature stands of timber, all of it never been cut. We would sit out there, and these doves would come winging through these trees that were 125, 150 feet tall, and trying to shoot those birds in between the tops of these trees. It was amazing. I don't think we ever killed one. There was a lot of shooting going on, but it was just such a wonderful place to be because you were in this place that had never been disturbed, doing things that people just didn't get a chance to do very often. And just seeing some really cool country and being around some really neat places. Mama used to have a habit when my mother worked so hard when we were kids. She would be a school teacher. She would do 40 hours plus, come home, clean, cook, take care of us. It just was constantly on the go. She was just a hummingbird. Always has been, always will be. Always running around taking care of other folks. My mom would get busy in the morning trying to pack lunches for us, and so I'd come down to eat breakfast. Mom would have a pot of water bowl and have hot dogs in it. Mama for lunch, Mama would take she'd take a piece of light bread, put a steaming hot dog on it, squirt it full of ketchup, wrap it in saran wrap, and then put it in my lunchbox. Well, by the time you got ready to eat lunch, about 4 or 5 hours later, it looked like some kind of science experiment. It kind of all melted together and had to be known as the world's worst sandwich. We were just little kids. We lived all over the place, but we would come home for summer sometimes to Magnolia, Mississippi, and be at Mamaw and Papaw's house. We would all get the cousins, and we would go down to a place called Chattawa. That part of the country, Mississippi, got a lot of blackwater creeks, and so this water, these creeks would be really, they'd have really clean gravel in them, but they almost like swimming in iced tea. It'd be dark and clear and cold, and there'd be a line hanging out of trees. We'd get and we'd swing out and fall into the water and splash. And I can remember as a kid laying on my back in those pebbles at the bottom of that creek and just starting to drink that water, just all I could hold. It was delicious. I remember my papa's house. I remember Allison and I one time, we were just little kids. And down there in the summertime, you get these giant rainstorms, and it would just thunder and roll, and these raindrops would be like as big as quarters. But between Mamaw and Papaw's house and the house next door, there was a little drainage there that was full of centipede grass, and that water would start cascading down through there. And so Allison and I would run, and we'd belly flop and slide down through that grass and that warm rain, and that centipede slide right up to the sidewalks. It was so different between Dad's family and Mama's family. Dad's folks, there were basically no rules. It was just about doing whatever you thought you'd get away with sometimes. They ran bars. My step-granddaddy went to dog tracks. My Mama's people were all great. They're all great people, but they just had different value systems and different ways of thinking and believing. So we went to see Mamaw and Papaw. You know, the thing there was that, you know, there wasn't any drinking going on. Everything was pretty much in line. Everybody went to church. Everybody did the things that we always supposed to do. It was just different when you left Mama's house, Mamaw's house, and went to Papaw's people, because my grandmother ran a bar. And, you know, I remember as 10 years old waiting up in there, and her saying, "Alan, go. We need to stock liquor." So we would. She would give me a box of pint liquor bottles. And I would start on one end of it, and I would stock the liquor behind the bar. And Granny Sybil would pay us. You know, you'd do a little bit of nothing, and she'd give you $50 or something. It was always such a really weird dichotomy between families. All wonderful people, just tremendous memories, but always so different. I had an uncle on Daddy's side named Joe Ivy, and Joe Ivy was... Joe Ivy lost a leg somehow. I forget how that worked out, but Joe Ivy was prone to drink, and he'd go down to Sybil's bar. Well, actually, the bar was called Crow's Bar, but Sybil pretty well ran it. And he would sit in there and drink, and he'd get pretty well on his way, and then he would start singing songs in Spanish, which was his tell that, you know, he had all he wanted. And I remember when I was a little kid, I was probably about 12. I came in there one day, came into the bar, and Lucky was the bartender, and, you know, it was just a typical crowd kind of a thing. Bo Carnley had that big old garter on his neck, and Duarte was sitting there, and he was singing some song in Spanish, and he grabbed me by the head and wrestled me around and was pushing on me and just picking at me, and he said, "Boy," he said, "you and I need to go cut some okra." And so he commenced to getting up off the bar stool, handing me the keys. So I think he had an old green Impala, if memory serves me right. And so Joe Ivy had a garden out in the middle of nowhere. And so he put me driving that thing. And so at 12 years old, here I go down some country road in the middle of nowhere, out through, I can't remember where it is now, but we drive and drive and drive, and we parked. And I thought we were both going to cut okra, but no. Joe Ivy sat in the car and gave me a knife and a bag, and I cut okra for about an hour, and then we all loaded back up, and I drove Joe Ivy back to the bar. He got back out, went back in the bar, and then later he went on back to the house to do something with his okra. My mother would take on anything. I don't care what it was. When we were living in a little house in Sweet Home, Oregon, on top of the hill, Dad had some friends that were going goose hunting towards the Oregon coast. And I guess Mom had asked one of them, said, "Well, if you get an extra goose, give it to me, and I'll cook it." Well, anyway, somebody dropped this Canadian goose off at the house, and I never forget walking back. There was a little washing room off the kitchen, and Mama was sitting there, and she had newspapers all over the floor. She was trying to dry strip or dry pluck this goose, and she would pluck, and she would pluck, and she would pluck. It took her hours to get that silly goose ready to where we could eat it. Just about did her in, I think, but like I say, she would do all kinds of things. Mama's a great cook. I tell people all the time, when you get around folks and start talking about, well, what do you like to eat? And I always tell them my favorite meal my mother cooked for me. When I was about four, Mama fixed dinner, and she made hot cornbread, and turnip greens, boiled hot dogs, sweet tea, tomatoes. And to this day, that's still my favorite meal. On my birthday, that's the meal my wife cooks for me. When I think back over these many years now, since Dad's been sick, I just really think about the sacrificial nature with which my mother has taken care of my dad. It's over 25 years Dad's been sick in some form or fashion. And if there's a model of a Christian woman that is so self-sacrificial about putting the needs of people first, there's not a better example than Mom. She has given and strained and tolerated and learned and taken over and done things that would put a lesser person in a corner. I dearly love her for this. Nobody could be more sacrificial when it comes to putting others before herself. Love you, Mom.